Well?
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. This is a bonus episode, our fifth or fourth?
Let's go with that.
I think our fourth. Bonus episode for the month of January 2016. If you listen to this in sometime in July or August, whenever, as we rotate them all, it'll come out for the general public around that time in the summer of 2016. So if you listen to it that far in advance, you're listening to us, this show, as a time capsule, because we're recording this in January.
Yeah.
And we're here to review Martin Scorsese's latest film. Hopefully he didn't make another movie in the next 6 months. Silence. And that's all we're going to do today. Real quick, feedback can always be provided to, written to, podmoviecast@gmail.com. Also, check out our iTunes, review us there. It'll be great. It'll send us great traffic to our feed. If you're listening to this in January or February 1st, this is where it gets out to all the bonus people, the people who showed us support, through our website, otherpodcast.com. If you want to know how to support to our show in the future and for every month, because every month we have a new bonus episode, Ralph, and we try to tailor it to something that is either important or something that we really love or anticipate a lot, or usually something blockbustery, so I can get more people into it.
Sure.
So yeah, I think it's a good reason to have all that. And usually, the 5 month skip for the general public release is a good way for the movie to be out already, like on Blu-ray or on VOD to rent or buy.
Sure.
So that way people can still listen to it kind of fresh.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it works for us. So that's it. No other news, no other nothing. So let's talk about Silence.
One of us must go to Nagasaki and find him.
It's too dangerous. For us, for the people who shelter us.
We send Kichichiro, he brings back word we can act on.
Are you mad? Where is he? He's never here. He's always drunk. You know he can't be trusted.
What do we do? We must do something to find Father Ferreira. Let's go out. Let's risk it. Just for a moment.
It's a movie.
It is a movie. Let me read the description here. I'll read the little longer one. Why not? The story of two Catholic missionaries, one played by Adam Driver, the other Andrew Garfield, who face the ultimate test of faith when they travel to Japan in search of their missing mentor at a time when Catholicism was outlawed and their presence forbidden. This takes place in the 16th century, by the way.
Yeah.
1630-something. It also spans decades. At some point in the movie, it starts skipping time like crazy. And besides Garfield and Driver, stars Liam Neeson, Tabando Asano.
And a bunch of Japanese people.
Karen Hines. Mm-hmm. And Japanese people that I'm not gonna
butcher their names
so horribly.
But
I'm really good with the Japanese names usually, but I'm reading some of this and I'm gonna fuck it up.
You wanna see? Yeah, see if I can do it.
Try it out. It's gonna be fun.
Ooh, it's a rough one.
Now you have to read it.
I know. Well, there's Issei Ogata, Shinya Tatsukumoto, Yoshi Oda.
Yoshi Oda is the one I could
Oda,
do.
Yeah, Yosuke Kobuzuka. Kaoru Endo. Yeah.
You don't show the Buska in a name. You don't show it with phrases or words, I think.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay, so.
Like Romney or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Look at us. Pretend we know what we're talking about. Oh. This directed, of course, by Martin Scorsese. Written by Jay Cox.
You just got to say it with confidence, I think.
That's true. Just confidence really wins it all. Screenplay by also Scorsese. Based on a novel by Shusaku Endo. Based on his novel.
Yeah.
And like I said, Jay Cox. It's funny because Jay Cox has written... or co-written with him, Gangs of New York. And I think ever since Gangs of New York on, he's basically been a part of a lot of it.
Except for
The Departed. No, The Departed was written by somebody else, which is funny enough. I remember because I'm
literally, I think the next movie is The Departed.
Yeah.
So you're off.
You're probably right. Yeah. So.
What sounds right?
Oh, no. The Age of Innocence they did together. That's cool. I
forgot about that. That's way before.
He also wrote Strange Days, which I really like that movie. Not great, but I remember have fond memories of it. Anyway, Silence, dude. Let's talk about this very serious movie.
Well, let's talk about this intro you just did about Silence. You said this is the description of Silence, and you should have said nothing and left dead air.
Yeah, because Dead Air is so great for podcasts.
Well, it would have been great for 5 seconds. They would have been like, what happened? And that's silence. No. And then we would have been finished.
No. And to, I knew that you wanted me.
I mean, like, that, you just went running with it. I was like, oh, man. Missed opportunity.
Dude, I don't know. Not, first of all, I don't know how to shut up. Secondly, I'm not leaving Dead Air. Okay. But let's have a little... You know, it's funny because on top of the film title Silence and the book title Silence...
There's no score in this movie
yeah. either. And there are moments of great silence.
Literal.
Either in between or...
Well, there's wind breeze and shit. Like if you're there. But there is also some moments where they take out sound completely.
Right, to show you that you're in the person's yeah. head or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what did you think of this movie? Let's get into this very dour movie. What did you think?
Okay. I enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was a really...
It's kind of hard to enjoy a movie about torturing.
Exactly. No, but I
it's like the 16th century Saw, really.
I enjoyed it for the fact that it's a well-done movie. That's what I enjoyed about it. There's good acting in it. There's... what's it called? Not even good. There's great acting in it, should I say. At least in my part. And there's rarely powerful moments. And it makes you uneasy. But that's good because the movie should make you feel something. And I think it's an interesting movie to, depending on where you fall on the religious aspect, you could be, which most people I would say, agnostic or, you know, atheist or whatever, right. And not be religious at all. And you fall in this movie and you're like, yeah, that's why I'm not religious. And that's exactly how you come out from this movie. You know, or you could be the other side and you could be super religious and your faith might be tested a little bit. Or you could come out like I did, where I'm not super religious, but I fall somewhere in between. And yeah, that was a dickish period, a very shitty period. And it happened, but I'm still the same as my faith is. Because I think faith kind of brings up the question a lot.
I have an interesting question about how we place this movie into not just like the pantheon of Scorsese movies, because the guy has done legendary films like you know, Goodfellas. For a lot of people, The Departed is a pantheon level.
The Departed is a really
I mean, me
movie,
too, honestly. Yeah. You know, and you go to Raging Bull, right? And you go to King of Comedy and others that are maybe lesser known, but also awesome, fun ones like Shutter Island. Forget that question, because that's obvious, and everyone will go to that. Let's think about it like this. We saw this movie in 2017. It is marketed as a 2016 film. It's actually, at the time of this recording, it's nominated for Best Cinematography, I think.
Yeah, Best Score.
Unfortunately, just the Best Score. Unfortunately, just one nomination, which I found ghastly atrocious, because...
Original song.
Andrew Garfield, original song? What, the hymn? Not even him. Because Andrew Garfield was nominated at the time. I don't even know if he wins or not.
I have to watch that movie too.
Hacksaw Ridge, right? I'm like, okay, I haven't seen Hacksaw Ridge, so I can't say for sure. But Jesus Christ, why is he not nominated for Silence?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, but besides that, when we do our top 10 discoveries next year, Ruff, would you put it on there, seeing this as, would you see this as a movie that you saw as part of 2016?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Since it came out as a release in 2017, yeah. Are you going to count it for the 2017 movie?
No, I'll probably come up. I think there's going to be, well, it really depends. Right now, it's a 2016 movie for me. And I feel a 2016 movie, even though I saw it in 2017.
I feel there's a limbo period.
There is a limbo period. And for me right now, it's a 2016 movie. I'll see how strong the movies are in 2017, and I'll see like if I need to include it. But other than that, in reality right now, I honestly think that I'm just going to find not better movies than this, that I don't need to add this. And I wouldn't have made my top 10 regardless, movies of the year for my 2016.
Like retroactively.
Right, yeah. Right, retroactively. And it will make – I don't know if it would make my 2017 top 10 movies.
Right.
I can't tell you. But as of right now, I'm not including it.
Got it. I think it would have made my top 10, maybe.
I think I need to watch this movie again.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because I don't know. I definitely, I think...
It's been like a week or so. Sometimes.
I'm leading... It's been more for me. It's been like 2 weeks.
Maybe like a week and a half.
So, clearly I like the movie. I actually, I'm fringing on loving the movie because of a lot of things in it. Like, you know, a lot of people look at...
There's a lot of questions that it brings up.
Let's go with a little bit of recency and other movies. We talk about La La Land, how that's a throwback to old classic musicals. By the way, a lot of people, the reason why a lot of people are disappointed about La La Land because they think... you know, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are going to start tap dancing like fucking Gene Kelly. They're not going to do that. It's not that classic. It's just classic in the way that it's the musicals and the spectacle. But that's it. The rest of it is pretty much modern day movie.
Yeah.
Emma Stone cannot fucking tap dance.
Yeah.
Not like Yankee Doodle Dandy is my point.
No.
So let's just stay away from that. Anyway. But this movie feels like that also. Like it's a gigantic throwback. Only masters of cinema slash people with clout. And thank God that Martin Scorsese is old enough and has clout and is pretty much a master of cinema. Is able to do a movie that no one's going to see like this movie. No one's going to see a movie like this again. And because there is nothing PC about this movie. There is nothing... I'm not saying that the movie doesn't leave some space for ambiguity. It does leave some space. I think I think a lot of the reviewers who see this movie will think that there isn't, and I think that's a shortcoming of their viewpoint of the movie, because it seems like the movie has one direction, one answer, and it's very ballsy that it does it. And I agree, it is ballsy the way they do it. And we're talking about the ending here a little bit. It does have all that, but I think that there is plenty of biasness into it that brings on the hate, not the hate, but the dislike of it. And I'm not talking specifics, but I'm trying to say is that there's very few movies that are this honest and this openly talking about something that these days people don't talk about or don't care.
Yeah. It's a question of your faith and like how you view religion. Also, that's a big thing, and it's also talking bad about.
And you are Catholic.
Yeah, it's talking bad about Catholicism and what's it called? Like the bad point of view, like if depending on how you look at things, I guess. Right.
Right. Like you, do you believe that? Okay. So this movie is also has to be seen through the lens of Scorsese's previous work, because he is notoriously known for making not just controversial films about Christianity and Catholicism, right, and God.
Well, I mean, it's something that he's been trying to make this project for a while now, right?
For a while, yeah. He has very interesting...
I want to say
even in his violent movies like Gangs of New York or Goodfellas, or even his very first one that I've seen, Look Who's Knocking at My Door, like, their main characters are steeped into religion. Either they hate it or they love it, yeah, but they still do the violence or are still part of something that's bad or illegal or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that he's clearly doing it for a reason. He has problems. He has issues
with his religion.
With his own religion. That
and I think
believes,
his own faith.
Strongly.
His own faith. His own faith.
Yeah, his own faith.
That's what it is.
Losing My Religion. I just thought of that song.
That's okay. It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. I mean, The Last Temptation of Christ is it was the crowning one for the longest time. I don't know if this movie beats it. They're both very different movies, granted. And I don't care what the Roman Catholic Church has to say about this movie, Silence. But
I can tell you.
You know about?
I know that their point of view about this movie a little bit.
I hear that they like it, right? My mom told me that because
there's not a like button on this. For example, right. There is a they. It's like we approve this message. It's more like.
But they also approve the passion.
They approve this movie, but they approve it for people whose faith will be unshaken. So, like, you have to like this. It's more like an approval of like a person. Like, who's not going to flip-flop, right? You know what I'm saying? So I know that they're afraid that someone's going to be like, well, fuck Catholicism, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's more like this is, it brings up a lot of questions for somebody if you're into it, right? Because it did bring up a lot of questions. And it brings up a lot of negativity, right? And but a lot of positivity as well, right? It's a mixed bag. So, you know, it's a very gray area. It's not a black or white movie. For the religion aspect,
yeah.
So it's they basically say like, yeah, you're more than welcome to watch this movie, and you know, it's approved by us as long as you know that you know where you stand with your faith, like we, you know, regardless of where you stand.
Yeah.
So that's the way they see it, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
He does say that they do think though it does show them a little bit more negative.
Hard to review.
It is a little bit more negative on their part. Yeah,
I almost think that I think it's positive no matter how you see it. I look, it's hard for me to see this movie negatively.
Sure,
because if you see this movie completely negatively, let's say you are not Catholic and you see we're just gonna spoil the ending now. The ending is basically the last 10, 20 minutes or something, especially the last five.
Sure, basically once
he hears the voice of God actually respond to him. the voice of God is somebody else, not his own voice.
Yeah.
For the longest time, he's been praying throughout the movie. Sure. He hears nothing but the tortured souls of the people. Or, you know,
right. And that's a really interesting part of the movie.
Yeah, I think
because he hears the voice.
I'm not going to hinge the whole review on that moment because there's a lot more movie to it.
Sure.
But and then there's that very big the ending with the crazy zoom into his cross.
His cross.
The trees burn, yeah. You know, and all that. I even all that, I'm not Catholic. Okay. I was raised, but I'm barely agnostic. Honestly, I am not a label. I just don't care. I don't believe. Don't really think about it.
Sure.
And don't tell my mom that. But otherwise, and most people are pretty okay with that. Now, I know that there are times, even like 2 decades ago, where people would scoff at me. Add 2 more decades back to that, people would yell at me. 2 more decades, I get beaten if I said I don't believe in God. More than that, I get killed. You know, the farther you go into history, the harder it is for me to say that sentence that I don't believe in this stuff. So I think it's fascinating on that level alone to talk about this movie and the way it's settled into the 1600s. I think the setting is just as important as Andrew Garfield's acting and the voice of God at the end. So I think that's fascinating as a movie itself. And so I found I just found too many things, too many angles to this movie to enjoy that even if you're not Catholic like me, you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to say, oh, well, Marshall, you know, says that he heard the voice of God is real. God is real.
Sure.
And he could go fuck himself. He basically saying fuck all Japan. Like, no, he's not saying any of that.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying any of that.
Yeah, and I actually heard some reviews about it also.
Right.
And, I see a lot of people very negative on that, especially the ending.
Yeah.
I honestly, man, well, obviously I'm looking at it through a different perspective. Raised Catholic, still Catholic. So a little bit different than you. But,
true.
What's it called? I don't see this as like this, like happy-go-lucky ending for the Catholics. Like, I see it, and it brings up a lot of issues for both sides. Yeah, I do see it as a happy ending for the Catholic. There is a nicer ending, right?
Right.
But I also kind of that one part that you're saying where he hears the voice of God. That's probably the most annoying part of the movie for me. That's like the least.
That's everybody's most annoying part of the movie.
And I
find that probably one of the most interesting.
Right. And I think it's because of the fact. Well, it's not annoying. It's annoying because I just. The way it's portrayed is that there's context to it because obviously he's a little mad at this point.
Yeah.
Like, as in crazy.
I mean, and if you know who played. You know who played the voice?
No, I don't.
It was Karen Hines, who is the mentor that sent them out in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the actor. So that says something.
That says a lot.
His benefactor sent him out.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Whatever.
So so that's interesting. But like, you don't know. That's where your faith is questioned right there. Like a big part. I think so. That brings up a lot of questions on its own. Like the decision to make that of having the voice. Is it because he's crazy or is it because he actually heard the voice of God? We don't know that. And you have to take that into your own perspective. Because it doesn't tell you that.
I mean,
but I think the movie lessens for me a little bit for even hearing the voice of God.
No, I know it cheapens it for a lot of people. We're also stuck very much in an age of people not wanting us to be told. We want to be subtly in subtext. That's all we want in our movies these days. At least the critics, at least the people who are looking at movies seriously and not just through Suicide Squad.
Lines. Sure, but I think this is like.
But
this is like a cardinal thing with like.
I think that you gotta see this movie half therapeutic for Scorsese.
Sure.
And half for the audience.
Yeah.
Like that's his answer. That's what he believes.
Right.
And he is artistically expressing that belief through a film. I don't think we should hate it for that. Or even. Not even say you hate it.
Yeah.
Or even disagree with that moment. I don't disagree with that moment. I found that moment. In that moment in the theater, I remember. Some of this movie, I was with my girlfriend. She was sleeping through all of it because she's not into this movie. So it's kind of funny. But anyway, I was watching it, and when that happened, I did not feel reproachful. I felt like invigorated. It was like almost like the movie had a shot of adrenaline to it in a way that I never saw coming because of not just ballsy, you know, putting it out there. It's very ballsy.
I mean, it's like walking in and be like, hi, how are you, Martin Scorsese? Boom. Okay. Your cock and balls are out.
Yep.
Like, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And just like that, and like I'm thinking of other big ending movies or whatever, and this is
not
just
even the ending. Yeah.
I mean, in a way, this is a twist. Like, oh, your beliefs were real.
Oh, you talked to Shyamalan. Okay.
And that was my first moment. But then I thought back to it. Like, no, he could still be imagining this. And then later, or he could still be, it could still be a lot of things.
Yeah.
And
well, I have the same moment as you. Yeah. That's my first impression from the movie. For that moment, I really had the same moment where I was just like, wow.
Actually, my first thought.
You literally, this movie's called Silence, right? And you think we're going to hear silence from God at all points.
Right. And like the gray.
Right, exactly. The fact that he doesn't. And then when you try, your brain immediately starts going into, at least mine did, like into hyperactive, like, how do you explain this? Is it because he's going crazy?
Right, and I think that's the thing. We're trying to explain it too much.
Right, and you know what? That could be true, right?
I mean, faith is a lot of things about faith that I find very troublesome in my life. But one thing that I've known about, it's about faith. Fuck, you know, faith is about faith, goddammit. Sure. You have to let it happen. You can't rationalize it.
Yeah.
And I think we all are trying to do that with this movie. Even I was in the very beginning. Right. My first thought, actually, when I heard the voice, and I was thinking, shit, right? That's God's voice. That's the dude. And I was thinking, like, did all that suffering like pay the toll to get the voice? Like all that suffering you watched.
If that's the case, all those Japanese guys should have heard it.
In a way, occurred yourself. Like you were a part of that happening. No, I think they were just in too much pain to hear it, maybe. the screams were louder. I mean, because God was just barely whispering.
By the way, Japanese, great torture methods.
Very creative people. Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, we'll talk about the torture.
Sure.
So I was thinking like, was that the equivalent of the two coins on the eyes to pay the Charon fare? I'm like, is this the currency to cure and to get into heaven? Is like pain and suffering?
Is it a higher elevated thing?
That right. Yeah. And that was my first thought. And I'm like, I'm not dismissing that. That sounds stupid, but I don't know. It could still be something. Let's talk about that stuff. I mean, this movie is about a lot of things. What do you think this movie is primarily about? Let's take Scorsese out of the equation here.
Okay.
What do you think this movie and book, I guess, is about?
That's a good question. Without blowing into the mic because I just let a lot of hot air out.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I guess I want to say it's how one views their relationship with God.
Okay.
Because especially that part where he finally gets to meet Liam Neeson's character. I forget the guy's name. Father. Father Fryer. Father Fry something or some Brian or some stupid name.
Sure, I believe that. Ferraria.
Yeah, sorry. Like the Ferrara candy company.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Ferraria or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, there's a really interesting moment where he explains why he finally stepped onto the symbol of God, right, or the face of God, right, and why he basically denounced God, right, to these guys,
right,
and he explains that their the Japanese's interpretation and the suffering that they've been going through of God is completely different. Like they don't even understand God how we understand God. They understand God how they understand God, which is like one way. And it's different from how we understand God, but we're supposed to be worshiping the same person, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly we brought the word to them, but in reality, they have it misunderstood, right? And it's like, and if that's the case, literally all their suffering has been for naught because they're not even serving God the right way and they're dying for nothing, right? Mm. So like, that's like a big interpretation thing, right?
Yeah.
It's how one interprets their relationship with God. So they think they're going to get to heaven, but in reality, they're like, or paradise. Because I don't think heaven's ever brought. It's paradise is what the word is used in this movie.
True.
So they're not even going to be gone to paradise in the eyes of these priests, or specifically, what's it called? The Father Friar or whatever. He that's how he believes it, because they're not even being taught the right way. They never understood the word of the Lord. So they're never going to make it to that just because they've been baptized or whatever. They're never going to make it there to paradise. So in his interpretation is that he's going to – what's it called? Like he interprets it that I'd rather just let them stop killing themselves, right, or getting them killed for them trying to serve their faith because they're not even serving the faith properly. That's how he interprets it.
Yeah.
And I think our main character, Mr. Garfield
– yeah.
Because I already forgot his name.
Rodriguez.
Right. Oh, Rodriguez, yeah. Easy name to remember.
Yeah, that's the thing we didn't like is that the actors are not really race appropriate.
But it would have been nice if...
But the Japanese cast is crazy.
Right. What would have been nice is that if they spoke in
Spanish.
Or so, yeah, that, I mean, this movie's so accurate in every way except for that. But
you got to bring the big name actors.
Also palatable to
audiences. It's fine. At least they didn't replace all the Japanese characters.
That's fine. It's like Sense8. Sense8, sure. They all speak English, when they all should be speaking, you know, Korean and exactly, African, yeah, and right. Spanish.
So, yeah, yeah. So, and I think his interpretation, he takes it differently, where he just feels that at this point in time, I can choose. My faith is... No, they do understand God because I've seen it in their eyes and I've seen their faith, right? They don't, they're suffering, like the reason they want to go to paradise and everything, right? And he sees that, yeah, I think in this moment I'm allowed to denounce my faith, air quotes, to these people because it's bringing suffering to others, and that's not my job to bring suffering to others. My job is the other way, is to bring them into faith, right?
Yes.
So it's like a big, how you understand your faith with God. Or with religion in general, right?
I agree.
And that's the big question.
I agree. Like many times in this movie, you're supposed to question and even maybe hate, despise Rodriguez.
A lot, yeah.
For allowing it to happen and saying that it's good, like hiding in the shadows and while this is happening.
I know the church now takes a stand where if you're in a position to denounce it, yes, if it's meant to save someone's life or yours, you're allowed to. Like even the church has led it to be like, yo, you like save yourself life.
But even then, like if you sure. believe that denouncing it in any capacity is not a good thing, not a Christian thing,
right? It's about denouncing.
Then don't
it.
Do it, and then suffer. But sure, otherwise, but leave it up to the person.
Right, exactly.
It's not about to the priest that's telling you. I mean, right. I don't know.
The big thing is like it's about denouncing it. Well, and then there's a big difference because there's a big image difference in the 16th century than it is now. Now,
I mean, huge. We have flat screen TVs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is like now or like, yeah, now I would say to for me to say like if I needed to, if I was in a situation similar to this,
yeah,
I would. And I said, yeah, I denounce my faith, whatever. Like I'll prove, I'll piss on the cross if I need to. Right. If you wanted me to. Right. Yeah. I'm not saying I would if I needed to. Right. Whatever. But I know in my heart of hearts, yeah, it would hurt me to do it. Right, but I know in my heart I'm not denouncing my faith. Like,
yeah,
and I would still like confess and beg for
right.
whatever.
I think that maybe that's the other bigger part that people
but
are not really talking
about.
The
big image thing is
yeah.
when you see a priest who is the man, the cloth of God, right, the man of God, who right. plays the act of the
servant,
acting part,
agent of God,
exactly,
yeah.
agent. If you want to look at of God, yeah. It is a big image to see that person denounce it because then you in your heart. You start losing the faith. And I think it's a bigger image back in the 16th century than it would be now. You know, like, it still would be a big image now to see somebody do that, like a priest do it, right? But at the same time, it wouldn't as much because we know, we can understand that, hey, you're doing it because you're not denouncing it. We can understand that you're not doing it for that reason.
Right.
We're doing it because, you know, we don't want any more bloodshed. But at the same time, like, I think
yeah,
it's just a way more powerful image
back
then.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I agree with. So, what is this movie about to you again? I'm kidding.
I know I went too long.
No, it's good. I mean, I kind of forgot the beginning parts, but it's good. It's a lot to handle. But I overall agree, and I'm glad I don't have to go into any of those because you said exactly kind of what I thought.
Sure.
Especially where it leads into the very slow motion, very dramatic part where he has to step his own foot on the Jesus placard.
Where he collapses right away afterwards.
Right, because I think the fact that he hears God after that, yeah. The fact that he hears God shortly after that, now shortly in the runtime of the movie, that many years pass,
sure,
of like decaying and insanity and checking for contraband.
Which, by the way, they do a really good job.
He particularly does a good job.
He particularly does a really good job.
And I'm not trying to base other reviewers into this, but I've heard a lot of them mention or say that they were confused or did not understand or thought it was hokey or stupid how even Liam Neeson, when they were doing the contraband stuff, like looking at Andrew Garfield in a way like, you should have let that pass. Like, we are still priests. Like, but he's, I mean, he's like, why are you looking that thoroughly? You fought so hard. And I know you cave in. Like, you know, it's like one of those push
yeah.
and pull things. And I'm like, because every day is a push and pull with these guys. They're living, they're strangers, they're enemies in a strange land.
Yeah. I just honestly think he was completely detached, you know, whenever he's doing anything for them.
Right. And I think the real bottom line of this movie, here's another reason, there's another thing we haven't talked about, which goes into the suffering of this movie, is that I agree with your analysis of how people saw it back then compared to now and what it meant to denounce your faith in public in any form meant a lot more back then than it is now. Again, they did not have television, guys. So what else are they going to do?
Sure, they're not desensitized like we are.
Yeah, God forbid, right? No, I'm not saying that they're stupid and we're not. Collectively, we're smarter, but also we're very stupid. You know, they had values, fucking goddamn it. You know, we have much less of that. Anyway, I think that their suffering comes from it's such an interesting thing because we spent like, what, an hour running time of the movie, solid, seeing people get tortured? Maybe more?
Something like that, yeah.
It's a lot of torturing in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that Saw killer has nothing on Scorsese.
Sure.
On the Japanese. I think a lot of people also thought that, you know, Scorsese was giving the Japanese a short shrift, so to speak. I just think that they're not godless heathens. I just think that their culture did not produce a faith akin to what Rome did, right? And other countries in Europe and shit.
Sure. Well, they were Buddhists.
I think that because of that happened, no, that's was more like different areas, but yeah, some of them are.
Sure.
I think that was incorporated later. I just think that they had a very more practical, I'm not going to pretend I know Endo and their history, but they had a different culture.
Yeah.
To the point where it wasn't so heavily...
I just think, like, my biggest question
relied
is...
on God or gods. I think the fact that their people needed something more to their day-to-day, that they could not understand it, is what I think that's what makes the suffering make sense. I just think that their people, the Japanese peasants...
were just going through the motions.
...needed something in their lives that wasn't just, like, rice or whatever they were there for.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to be bigotry here. They were really doing that. Or farming and shit, right? And just sucky lives they had. And this is the one thing that can redeem a lot. And they hear this word from the Catholics, and it is a savior. It is a saving grace. And I can understand that. That's why I understand the suffering so well. The upside down water, the thing with the drowning with the girl, they're just pushing them in. That was, they have to do that, but otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, there's, so my biggest question in the movie is like, because they bring it up, like, why don't you guys stop? So the reason is like a big question that comes up is they ask each other, which between the head honcho of the Japanese people, right? And Andrew Garfield's character, Rodriguez, the question is brought up is like, why don't you stop coming, right? And like, we don't want the word here, right? Why don't you stop coming, right?
It's funny because I heard that guy is a comedian in Japan.
Is he? That is awesome.
Because he has a very animated face.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
He also looks like a bureaucrat. He's so bureaucratic. Yes. I think everyone's bureaucratic.
Yeah.
On the Japanese
so
side.
I think you have to be. Yeah. So he asked him that, right? And he's like, well, we're supposed to spread the truth, right? Like, that's our job. Our job is to spread the truth everywhere because we believe that's the truth of everything, right? Like, and he's like, well, because they bring it up once, like, why can't we both coexist in the same country, right? Because he's like, you guys want to take up everything. Like, but I don't understand why they couldn't coexist in the same country. What is it right. about the Catholicism that's taking away from them? What is it taking away from them? I don't understand what it's taking, if anything.
I know. He does put – I remember his arguments were better than Andrew Garfield's.
They were.
I just don't remember what it was.
But,
that question is asked in that movie. I just don't remember what his answer was. But his answer is what I think it is too. I think it's like leave us well alone. It's kind of thing. And they're just an island. Leave them alone. Honestly, I really agree with Japanese a lot in this movie. I can understand a lot of people's frustrations watching this movie saying that what is Scorsese doing by validating this silly priest by hearing the voice of God when Japan is just trying to be Japan and you're fucking it up coming into their country. But like, even if you try to get into his point of, even if you sympathize with Garfield's, Rodriguez, sorry, that he is spreading the truth and he must do it and that's his job. Even given all that, the fact that there's so much death that comes from it should invalidate that. But as we already explained everything, the reasons why we think the death and the torturing is allowed and happens and the time difference and the actual voice and what we think about Scorsese himself, I think all those point to angles that it's, guess what, guys? It's a very complicated thing. No one's fully right or wrong on this. And this is where it comes to. The movie's not black and white. It's actually kind of gray. A lot of people see this movie as black and white because they say, like, okay, clearly God's real. Japan's wrong.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think they're both wrong and right.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. What else do you want to say?
Let's bring up one big character, our Judas in the movie, Kichichiro.
Yes, Kichichiro. I have him here. Played by Yosuke Kobuzuka. Kobuzuka, maybe. Yeah, Kichichiro. What did you think of him?
I honestly felt my impressions of the movie with him is that he is our modern-day Catholic. He's going to sin. He is going to, and he knows it, right? And he'll do anything to save his life, to sin and everything like that,
right?
Because he knows he'll be redeemed.
He'll make a good spokesman for, like, you know, in the airplanes, how they say, like, you put the gas mask on you first and then your children.
Sure, yeah.
Because he'll do it on himself. Exactly. For sure.
And, well, you have to help yourself before you can help somebody else.
Yeah, but it's like a good and bad.
Sure, yeah. You look
always,
like a dick.
Because he's always doing that.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? And he's like a living embodiment of what a person is today, where you sin, but every Sunday you confess and then you're good to go, right?
There's a lot of Irish jokes about that, too.
And
they'll drink crazy on Saturday night and get
beat
up their wives or
exactly
bar fights.
And then on Sunday, you get redemption, right. And you're good until Saturday, yeah,
right?
I get it. And I think he's a big embodiment of what a Catholic is now, or what a modern day Catholic is, should I say? But at the same time, he's what a modern day good Catholic is. Regardless, he never loses the faith in him, but he's willing to because. He's strong and weak enough. It's a mix of both to deface or to, you know, denounce God in public.
Right.
Right. Which in whatever means necessary, because he's asked many times in different ways. Right. To spit, to step, to whatever.
I mean, we first meet him really drunk too.
Sure. Yeah. And because his family died. And I think he's like, he knows that as long as he never loses it in his heart, at least this is the way I saw it.
I agree.
He's going to get redeemed.
I mean, the way he asked for the confession at the end, his last scene, I guess. Not his last scene, because they actually do cart him away.
Penultimate scene.
Because it sucks. He does get carted away at the end.
But hopefully with everything.
Right. But so he asked so desperately for that confession. From a priest that denounced God, and he doesn't get it. And I think it's interesting because I think what's his name, Kichichiro?
Yeah.
Is he kind of embodies the best things about what faith means to both Liam Neeson's character and Andrew Garfield's.
Yeah.
Except that he doesn't have to. He happens to not be a priest. I don't think he has the capacity to be a priest, but like if he did, I think he would have turned out better than both of those people because of the way he looked at it and the way he treated it and the way he like just saw it in his heart and took care of him first before he could possibly take care of others. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have the ability to take care of others, unfortunately. He's still kind of a drunkard and all these other problems.
Right.
You know, he does shape his life up, seemingly.
He basically tries to keep Andrew Garfield's character alive.
Right. That's true, yeah. And then he still gets carted away for all his troubles.
Yeah.
For everything he's done. And I'm not saying he's the best positive character. He's definitely the most...
He even worked... He ended up being his servant for most of his life until he got carted away.
Yeah. That's interesting. I don't know.
Right. Exactly, because you didn't know what his position was, because they just kind of like leave it be until they say they took his servant away, and I was like, oh, that's what his servant was. He was a person who was serving him at all times. That's interesting.
His Alfred.
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Right there. I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I did think a little bit about this character. I couldn't really flesh him out completely.
I mean, I just think he's probably the second character we see the most in the movie.
It's funny. Adam Driver, he dies off.
Right.
Pretty fast. Not fast, but not like fast. Halfway
I
in.
Mean, after the halfway, he's just like another scene and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, he's probably the purest heart because of the fact that he went into the water and all that happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, Andrew Garfield did not do that.
Right. No, Andrew Garfield is definitely a mindful person. And you could see clearly because what...
But not even like a true humanitarian. He would not jump in to save a life like that.
Yeah, that's the difference though. Like the big difference between Garfield's character was he's a very thoughtful person and he knows how to, you know, from thought come into
clarity and things help right. him there. And the other one is just like he's driven through passion and through, right. you know, so it's immediately like yeah. that's how he saw it. I mean, they butt heads all the time. And Adam Driver's character is always telling him, like, I got to be more like you, man. Like, I'm really heated and I want to get like really angry.
Yeah.
He's like, but you're very calm and collected. Like, I need to be more like you. And obviously, I don't think it turned out that way.
Well, you could say he's the only one who died without sin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one who, in the whole movie, slash half the movie, committed the least amount, slash no sin, sure. because
that and any other
there's so much you can say about these people and Andrew Garfield and his denouncement and letting all the torturing happen, seeing it happen, even to his fellow priest, and yeah. not doing anything about it, really, except continuing the process by preaching.
Sure.
And even Nichiro and Liam Neeson's character, they're all like doing things that are gray in yeah. their Catholicism or even morally, but not Garupa, which is Adam Driver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, he has a short run, but yeah.
I think what I really like, because what's it called? Garupa's character is complete old school father, right? Or at least what we feel like is an old schooler father.
Yeah.
And you see Father Rodriguez, which is Garfield, he's not his new school, right? I'm not saying that, but I think it's – he's a person who – I mean, his faith got tested humongously in this movie where is he doing it for himself? Like, at one point, like, that's
right.
A big question.
One point, is it a selfish act?
Is it a selfish
just
act?
A prideful act? I mean, pride is his biggest sin, for sure.
Pride is his biggest sin.
Yeah.
And, like, you could tell. And I think he comes to a realization that, yeah, I think I am doing it a lot for myself and not for – because I want the glory. It's like it's a big thing. And once he comes to that realization, the movie kind of changes also.
Yeah. One last thing is the – upon his death, they do this voiceover, right, happens where they describe his passing, Andrew Garfield's passing, and he inherited this wife and child. Very strange. We see very little of them, but that's fine. And, well, so they do this thing where they say, like, they kept very meticulous thing, and they make sure they buried him in a Japanese way, nothing Catholic about him.
And they burned his body.
They burned his body. When we hear, and like I said, the last shot of the movie is seeing his hand and his body in that little...
sure. Well,
barrel.
Right before that, you see his wife.
Right, his wife clearly had put a cross,
yeah,
a makeshift cross, into his hand
yeah.
upon his death. A lot of people have a lot of problems with that scene too. On top of the voice already.
Is it for the fact? Is it because she was a Christian or?
No, it's the fact that we didn't know nothing about her.
Yeah,
but I also gotta say, like, the movie is not. Who cares about her? Like, I think, like, first of all, no, the movie did not care to know about her. Secondly, if it was about her putting that cross there, we would have seen scenes about it. It's not as sure. if he forgot
right.
to put a backstory about this this new wife of his. It was more like, I think that she probably never believed in this thing, but she would still honor her dead husband's wishes.
I agree. Completely.
And then do it anyway. Yeah. That is it. To her, it's an item that she's putting into the coffin.
Yeah.
That's it, he's dead.
I mean, that's a best and worst, right?
If anything, the culture of Japan treat their dead a lot more honorably than we do.
Than we do, yeah.
So, like, I don't understand how that's a problem for a lot of people.
I honestly think that's the worst case scenario
yeah.
for that. And then the best case scenario is that she was also a Christian.
And was converted
right,
throughout
exactly.
the years.
Sure.
But that's kind of a leap because we know nothing about her.
Exactly.
But, like, if you don't have to know anything about her, dude, just her fucking last yep. wishes. Oh, the dude's last wishes. Yeah. Like, not even.
Yeah, if she knew her husband, she knew one thing, and
right.
that was that.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that's the extent of that. I think the ending on that last image is, I don't know, maybe like a final nail in the coffin, so to speak, because it's his coffin.
Sure.
About his faith. Do you have anything more on that ending? Because I feel like I'm missing something, a bigger angle to the ending.
I don't know. It kind of hit the nose a little bit much.
Right, that's what I'm...
Yeah. And I think maybe. They did it just to make sure that we knew, I guess. Because other than that, I mean, the movie could have ended with his death, and you didn't even have to show his... Like, you could have ended with letters at the end saying he died, right?
Right, the classic biopic.
Sure, exactly, right? Yeah. And I would have been like, that's fine. And I would have left the movie, the theater, thinking he died, and I know he died with his faith. Right? Because that's how I saw it, right? Now, I guess the movie has to do it just for the fact that, like, this is how he died, and he died always believing and never not believing.
Right.
So I guess that's the only reason for it. just to make sure there's like.
Right, so I'm not missing anything.
Closure.
I don't think so.
I don't miss anything.
At least between us two.
It's like.
Somebody else has an opinion on what we're missing there.
Basically,
let us know, please.
This is the ending for Luke. Who yeah, loves closure.
Yeah, everyone who is in the main character dies. Everyone has their whole lives portrayed in this movie.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Every main character
dies. He should love this movie. He's Polish too. Poland is like steeped in Catholicism like no tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just like.
I mean, not him, granted, but everyone else is.
Right.
So yeah, I think. Is that it in this movie? Anything else you want to say?
I mean.
I guess pedigree information here. Cinematography, like I said, was nominated for that. Fucking amazing.
I mean, let's talk about some of the torture scenes. They have, because those are some really powerful scenes, are like just how they look.
The hot water sprinkle thing? Oh my God.
The hot water sprinkle thing where it basically burns your body, right?
Right, slowly.
Which is crazy.
Slowly, too. It's right. That's not
fast. Where they flip you upside down, they cut an incision by your head or ear or whatever, and so you can, they drain the blood by your brain and you'll die slowly.
Yeah.
That's bonkers, okay? Like, how do you come up with that idea? Bonkers. And then the other one where they crucified them and let the high tide come in. And just kill them. And one guy lasted, 3 days? 4 days, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Something. That was bonkers.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And they waited until he died.
And of course, it's his like loudest, most fervent disciple.
Exactly, know? Of course it was, right? Also, I mean, it's just. Those are really powerful scenes because they're shot amazingly, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Especially that crucifixion scene. I mean, just it looks. Like crazy, like I mean, if they actually put a real body up there, let high tide come in. So I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and they even give you the quick description, which is bonkers, where they burned the body and it smoked so long because of all the salt water in his body, like when they were burning him, like all the smoke came out because of the salt water in him.
Yeah,
like, that was crazy.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the direction is very, very careful. It's so careful. That camera is. Not a single shot seemed out of place, and I think Schoolmaker, I forgot her name, Thelma something, the editor, all the editor, the main editor for all Scorsese films, if it's her, I'm pretty sure it's her, I recognize her shit usually. They both are top. Rodrigo Prieto.
Schoolmaker.
Schoolmaker, there you go. Yeah, and it was the cinematographer, Roberto, and then, Schoolmaker. Yeah, they're top form on the editing and.
Oh, Prieto did this?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so like it's really top notch shit. I mean, for that alone, I wish I could give you some technical awesomeness about it, but I don't have names and titles and shit. So,
sure.
But yeah, it's really good stuff, and the acting was also very stellar. I mean, it's hard to weigh it compared to other works, even of their own, like.
Sure.
I mean, is it the best Andrew Garfield performance? I'm tempted to say yes, but also like, how can you compare it to Spider-Man? I mean,
right? Exactly. It's really hard. I mean, I kind of want to see the one he's nominated for, because
Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, because I mean, this is a great performance on his part personally.
Well, I mean, clearly, I think the Oscars are fucked this year. I mean, I don't know what they were doing.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I gotta watch it.
I mean, Mel Gibson. I don't know, but whatever. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't say. So I think that's it. One last note I want to say about this that I forgot earlier is that, you know how we said how Japan is seen through more positive, sometimes depending who you talk to, I guess, more positive or negative lens, but definitely one or the other. And I think that a lot of people are blaming Andrew Garfield's character for letting the torture happen, but also let's not forget, the Japanese are torturing these people, not Andrew Garfield. It's hard to say, like, blaming the husband that got into a fight with the wife that let her out, and then when she was out, she gets hit by a car. I don't blame the husband for getting into the fight also. Like, blame the fucking car that hit her. Like, blame the guy who drove, right? It's like one of those weird backwards things. Like, why is everyone blaming Andrew Garfield? I'm not saying he wasn't at fault. But I know that that is the main argument for everyone and their reviews.
I don't know why.
But, like, the Japanese murder their own people. Mm-hmm. A lot of them.
Yeah.
For this thing. And not to mention for God knows how many other things. And that's every society also, by the way. We all murder each other all the time. But
it's interesting how they see their people.
Right. It's just...
That's a big thing.
It's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. That's not what happens to their culpability.
Yep.
Culpability.
Exactly.
It drives me crazy that people forget that. So that's my final note on it, and that is a review of Silence. I'm not really going to do a big exit here because, like I said, this is a bonus episode. If you got it in February, thank you for donating so much for our show. If not, you get it in July, please consider donating for us in the future or for that month. I don't know what really cheap bonus. Yeah, cheap ass motherfuckers. Yeah, so whatever. You know, it's all good. Please send us feedback on this film and what you think of this film. It's very... not political, but religious. Like, you know, people say to keep religion and politics out of the conversation. Well, we're talking religion here. So tell us what you think. I know that everyone will have an opinion on this movie. Everyone, even the biggest atheist in the world. So you can send that information or feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com. And that is it for our show. You can follow me on Twitter for Armin, at Armin Filmmaker. That's filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph?
You can follow me at Gamer Ralph. That is with two R's and an F.
All right, guys, that is it. I'll see you all later. Thank you.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie? Oh, my.
You didn't hear it from me.
I have a serious question for you. That's not very serious at all. For top 10 discoveries, did you forget or purposely leave out The Wire? I thought you cut up to that last year.
Oh, I forgot that. Well, I must have forgotten. I would have put The Wire on there for sure.
I guess I was like...
Yeah, I would have taken... I mean, what was my list? I already forgot.
Wasn't a TV show on it, as far as I remember.
No, there was not. Look.
A game or maybe one game, a few comics, books, mainly movies.
Maybe one of the books wouldn't have made it.
Because I'm like, wow, I remember he watched The Wire. It must have been 20.
Yeah, actually, The Girl with All the Gifts probably wouldn't have made it.
Right.
And I would have just shifted stuff around.
You know, this would have been truly no overlap.
Yeah, right.
That's the only overlap we had.
That's legit the only
overlap. I really thought that we might have had like overlap with some of those AFI marathon we had because we saw a lot of movies we didn't know, sure. Right?
Yeah.
But no, you saw a lot of others.
Well, I was going to pick that one movie that you said on the AFI list. Fuck.
In the Heat of the Night?
No, the other one.
Oh well. I don't remember.
Sorcerer? Virginia Woolf.
Oh, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah. I was gonna pick it. I liked it a lot, but I was just like, meh. I ended up picking the other one just because I kind of liked it overall.
The Bridge.
I picked the other three because I was like, I just
Bridge, The Island for Murder. What was the other one?
Bridge, The Island for Murder, On the Waterfront.
On the Waterfront. That's right.
Like good picks on my part, anyway.
I would have taken out On the Waterfront. I know it's classic and all that, but like I don't. It's hard for me to value that movie.
I think I literally think his performance is what makes the movie.
Yeah, I know, but you can say that about a lot of current movies, and no one sees those anymore higher than.
You're right, but like
take any Meryl Streep movie. She's clearly the best thing in the movie.
But she still gets nominated for all of them.
I know. I'm sure she knocks it out of the park in that movie.
But that movie,
I'm sure, sucks. Like, right, the last
exactly,
20
sure,
half.
That's perfectly fine. But what I'm saying is that obviously someone is looking for those roles still happen.
I know, but I'm saying like...
You're still getting...
I mean, in the test of time capacity.
Sure.
None of those movies are going to make the test of time. The Meryl Streep ones. But On the Waterfront does.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's like... Because it feels super, like, cliched, like, that whole, like, the story in general just feels very used.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's an old movie. Like, it's not used then, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, it feels used to us now, but not to them when it was then. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree, overall.
There you go.
That's fine. You ready? You don't have notes, right?
Do I need notes?
I used to
for a little bit.
I do sometimes for other things, but not mostly.
I try to write questions sometimes, like if I remember.
Yeah.
If I really am intrigued about a movie. But most of the time I remember everything I need to. And then if not, questions are brought up.
Because most of the podcasts that I listen to, which are...
Oh, they have like other scripted or...
They're scripted. Well, I'm not saying the scripted ones. But like the ones that are clearly much more popular than us. They have also done it longer than us, so I can't blame them too much or blame us too much on that. But they seem to, like when they cover TV, for example, they watch every episode like 3 times. One time is the first time. Second time is for notes.
Yeah.
And third time is for like final evaluation or something. And I'm like, damn. And like, I'm not saying that if we were to do a weekly show podcast about a TV show.
Yeah.
I would definitely make us watch it twice or something. Like, watch it twice.
Please. I would try to watch it twice, but at the same time, like...
Right, that's their lives.
But I still probably wouldn't have much notes.
That's their livelihoods. That's why. But then you hear those guys, and then they do like a quick review on a movie podcast or whatever, and they're like, "I didn't see much movies this year." Yeah, because you're watching every episode three times, like of shows. Like,
and that's exactly what happened to the one I'm thinking of, anyway.
So, like, yeah,
of but other movie ones too. Like, some they seem to write notes a lot.
Well, yeah, I think because a lot of them come from writing backgrounds or journalism backgrounds, should I say?
I think almost all of them do.
Right, exactly, which makes sense. But like, a lot of them come from journalist backgrounds, so they're used to immediately, like after a movie, they'll jot their thoughts down, or during the movie, they'll jot their thoughts down, and you know, and yeah, stuff like that.
I would still do that if I remembered. I used to do that all the time. I still can, right. But I just don't. It would be interesting to look back at it, like, oh, my immediate thought on some moment in a movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a movie theater.
Most of my immediate thoughts are pretty lame, so that's why I just figure, let me dwell on things. Like, yeah. Most of my immediate thoughts are just, like, really simplistic thoughts, and I never put thought into the thought. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's just a reaction, which is really stupid of me, but I can think into something. I can't actually look at something and then, you know, come up with a meaningful thing for it. Because I know I can, and I can, you know, and I know it sticks on me, and I'm not like Teflon where it's just going to slide off. So,
all right, are you ready for this thing?
Uh-huh.
The funny thing is that this show is coming out
tomorrow.
No, but like for everyone
forever later,
like in July,
right? Yeah.
So, happy birthday!
When it's out for DVD, when it's out for DVD or Blu-ray,
about that time. Yeah. I mean, the first one's coming out basically.
We should. That's what you should do. You should try bonus. To come out with the bonus episodes.
Well, in that case, I'm already too behind because two of them are already out.
Yeah. Well,
on VOD.
I think not. Well, no. I think it's like once you're able to buy it at a store, you should be able to.
I don't know. I think they're kind of unpredictable. Don't bring.
They are unpredictable.
First.
Well, they are unpredictable just for the fact that. A lot of movies nowadays, like if it's a smaller movie, that bitch comes out like next month.
That's what I'm saying. Don't Breathe has been out for a while. Right, exactly. And that's our first bonus. Yeah. That's not even out yet. It will be out next week, but it won't.
Sure. Yet.
Anyway, funny.
What movies are we doing for this next podcast that I have to watch?
John Wick 2.
I'm watching that.
I mean, we're all watching. I mean, right. I try to pick something that Luke would get over there, and he's going to get that movie. John if he doesn't get that movie, he should just leave that place, right. Wherever he's at, overseas in Taiwan. Uh-huh. Now, but the other one is the one he chose, which is he wanted to do The Founder. So I just let him choose that. I don't think I'm going to let him choose any one show.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll just listen to his suggestions every once in a while. But, like, I think it's going to be you and I doing this until he gets back. Because I'm not going to trust a lot
it's
of this
April.
Stuff.
It's not April, yeah.
I just can't believe me for this.
I mean, good for him for seeing that doubleheader of La La Land and what was it?
Manchester by the Sea.
That's another movie I have
was,
to watch.
Was that the order find. He saw him?
Yes.
Oh, what a bummer order because...
Well, yeah, you go in watching Manchester, from what I hear. You go watch Manchester, oh, life sucks. Watch La La Land.
Yeah, that's just a good order.
Life doesn't suck as much.
No, it doesn't suck. It's bittersweet, actually.
Yeah.
I can't fault him on it, though. It's a good movie. All right. I said we were ready like 50 times. We're ready still?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could have mentioned that we went to Niagara Falls, too. I mean, we did that last year. One of the seven wonders of the world.
Is that really one of the seven wonders?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Why wouldn't it be?
I mean, I'm just surprised that we went to one. Yeah. Put it this way, like seven wonders of the world. You grew up hearing about them.
There's two the pyramids. There's two in the United States.
Well, Grand Canyon is the other one?
Yeah.
We get two? No, but we don't get two. But we get one and a half. Canada, I guess one and a half. Yeah. We share one.
We share one.
It's the shitty side, too.
It's really, yeah, exactly. It's really Canada's.
Yeah, it's really Canada's. Yeah. And they have the tourist one.
They have the nice one, yeah.
We made into a forest.
The other
park.
One is just a fucking, exactly.
Like you have to learn spelunking to get
right,
to
exactly,
it.
Right, exactly. Shit like that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's interesting. See, I think it's like five wonders and six greats. And two greats.
Five wonders and six greats.
I meant to say
so where there's 11?
Yeah, there's 11. Can't count.
Yeah,
that's how I feel now because I think they're just lessened. I've never been to Grand Canyon.
They're lessened?
I'm sure they're. It's fantastic.
Is it because too many people?
It just
going
looks like every time I see pictures of Grand Canyon, I'm thirsty, so I don't know what to think really.
And you gotta pee when you see the waterfall, right?
Right, you gotta pee. So I figured that they go one. Yeah, don't go to the water one first and then the other.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. So what are the ones? Pyramids? I suck at this.
Is that the Great Wall of China?
Yeah. That's man-made, though. I thought
it doesn't matter. It's the seven wonders.
Oh, the pyramids are man-made too.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people think it's aliens.
Right. Exactly.
Or it's apocalypse.
Or the Gwald. Anyways, yeah. So
what's the?
It's aliens. It's Stargate.
The Babylon thing. There's something in Babylon. One of the Babylon cities.
Yeah, Stonehenge is one of them, isn't it?
Stonehenge. Yeah, I think that's right.
That's like in one of the Nordic.
Jesus,
states
we suck at this.
Taj Mahal.
Right.
Let me think. What else?
That's five, right?
Before. Yeah, we're at five. Yeah,
nothing in Africa, nothing in South America.
I think the desert is like a thing, isn't it?
The Nile.
The Nile. Is it Nile? The Nile is one of them, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Might be one, yeah, because it is a fucking gigantic-ass river.
In Europe? What's in Europe? That's
I'm trying to think. Is the Eiffel Tower one? No, I don't think so.
No.
No, it can't be.
It can't. The seven wonders were like...
I want to Google, but I also want to use my brain.
Yeah. I feel like that scene in While We're Young or whatever.
I don't know.
And While We're Young, there's... Ben Stiller. A lot of pens. Ben Stiller is talking to a young hipster version of us, whatever.
Sure.
Of our age group. To what's that guy? Kylo Ren's character, the actor.
I don't know his name, but I know.
But he's in everything now.
Sure. So yeah.
He went from nowhere to everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's in that movie.
And, well, he went from girls.
And they're talking about a movie, and they none of them can think of the actor in that movie. They're like, oh, and Ben Stiller. Oh, I can Google that. And the guy's like, no. Let's just sit with it. Like one of those pretentious kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, no. Let's just let us... We don't have to assign the answer. It'll come to us. If it doesn't, then let it be. You know, one of those.
I think the Kremlin is one also.
The Kremlin?
I think so.
No one likes Russia.
The Swiss Alps are one.
For reals?
Yeah, I think so. The Swiss Alps should be one, yeah.
Swaps.
The Swaps, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Just because I think it's like how... Like symmetrical or something.
Once we Google it, we get like five
We're
wrong.
Probably like all wrong, yeah. Let's go with that at seven.
Okay. Why do we get to the Seven Wonders?